if you're transparent with your clients and you're upfront and you're communicating all the time with them, they may not like the piece of news that you are delivering, but they are appreciating that you are delivering that news, and it makes the whole entire experience great, because regardless of whether you tell the client or not, they're going to figure out that bad news. So you might as well tell them right away, let's solve this problem, let's do it together, and let's move past this challenge and get to the fun stuff, the delivery or whatever it is at the end.
Welcome to the Leaders of Tomorrow podcast. My name is Chris Thompson, your host of the show and the head coach of the Student Works Management Program. This is a show dedicated to young and ambitious entrepreneurs and ultimately the leaders of tomorrow. Each week, we will bring you an inspiring interview or message to help you create the future you know you deserve. Let's get started.
Hey, leaders. Really, really excited. I just had an amazing conversation with Steve McDonald. He has started about 10, 15 years ago, a business called Patty Mac. It, you can go to that site, pattymac.ca, and it originally was in servicing clients, just maintenance needs up in the Muskoka area. Really wealthy, well-to-do cottage area in Ontario. And he developed and worked on that and originally was in partnership with one of our alumni, but grew and grew and grew that. And now it's a $12 million business, 50 plus staff working with, some of the most successful, people, in certainly the greater Toronto, Ontario area, central Ontario area who have, second and third properties up in that area, and just building unbelievable homes, just unbelievable. You can check it out on his website. And we just had a fantastic conversation about, his progress over the last 15 years, the business that he's built and the complexity and challenges of building a business that big, and so many moving pieces. So we really dug into a lot of things. I know you're really going to love it. It's very inspiring. He's in his mid 30s running a business like that. Hey, way to go, Steve. I just love it. What I'm up to? I'm up to developing leaders. I'm up to finding amazing people, like Steve, and some of the people he mentioned in the podcast, that he was friends with and who want to really set their lives apart and do really special things like Steve's doing. So if you know someone, send me an email or have some feedback about our show, cthompson@studentworks.com, or you can send them to studentworks.com. You could share this podcast with them. Okay. So have yourself an unbelievably fantastic day. And thanks for tuning into the Leaders of Tomorrow podcast. Well, Steve, welcome to the Leaders of Tomorrow podcast.
Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, no, it's really awesome to have you. I know I reconnected with Mike, one of your best buddies, somebody who you introduced into our program and then you became partners with. And he's actually, been on the podcast. And then he went and said, hey, do you know what Steve's doing? And I went, no, I didn't know what you're doing. And I know you're just up to all sorts of stuff. So I'm really excited about, talking about that and bringing that to our leaders here on the podcast. But before we dig into that, tell me what you were like before the program.
It's been a long time, about 15,
I know.
14 years.
Yeah.
I remember I had a buddy in the program, Ryan Shaw. And okay. He's 3 years older than me, so he was kind of always a bit ahead of me. But I remember I was in university, first or second year university, doing quite a bit of partying and doing average in school and not really knowing what I wanted to do in life. And then I always kind of heard Ryan Shaw was doing this this program, and I always thought it was kind of cool that he was running his own business. So I thought it was really cool that he was running his own business doing this painting thing. And I always thought that was a cool idea. So I would say before the program, I didn't have too much direction and didn't know what I wanted to do, but running your own business sounded pretty cool.
Awesome. And So having fun, hanging out with Ryan Shaw tells me that. He's actually someone we're going to have on the podcast soon too.
He's
crushing it. He's doing amazingly well out in Dell in Vancouver. Yeah. I just reconnected with him recently. So you got involved in the program. I know you really excelled. You did really, really well with us. It was awesome to have you here. And so what do you still rely on from the program?
Lots of things. Some of the stuff that was actually taught in the program that helped build our business, the business I run now is the sales skills. Number one, the cold calling and just building up the courage or telling yourself that it's okay to go out and ask people for business, and it's okay to go, out of your comfort zone to knock on a door or pick up the phone or ask a friend for business. So that confidence, I think, was a big part of what I learned there, and then that I still use today. And then another thing that wasn't really taught, but going through that experience and going through the program, that I still rely on and I think is very important for any entrepreneur, any successful person, is perseverance, because you're going to go through a whole bunch of bad times and face really big challenges, and you're going to sometimes feel like quitting, you're going to sometimes feel like crying, but you have to push through all that stuff, and you have to believe in yourself, and you have to believe that you can make it. So those two things, the sales is huge, and then just the perseverance that I learned through going through the challenges of StudentWorks Painting have really paid off for me.
That's awesome. And it's funny, I know one thing that we've actually done since you've left in 15 years, because just like you, you've evolved in your business, and it's just we're evolving, is we're actually very clearly teaching more mindset skills and habits and perseverance and doing better at rather than just what you did, is you just discovered it.
Yeah.
Right. In many ways. Right. You just discovered it, man. I just need to stick through this. And if I want to get to Mexico and run a really successful business, which you did for 2 years, I just have to see this through. And now we've been way, way better at just putting it out there. That's just one of the things that, and it's kind of unknown, I think, one of the things that really successful people have, they just get it. I'm going to feel frightened and just feel it anyway and just do it. I'm going to feel defeated some days and then just wake up the next day or call a friend or just go through that feeling of defeatedness, right?
Yeah.
As you felt, I felt, right?
Sure. Oh yeah, definitely. I always joke around with my friends and my wife and stuff like that. I don't know if this is a bad thing or not, but if I don't feel a little bit stressed, I feel stressed because I'm not, there's something's off if I'm this relaxed. So yeah.
I hear you. As long as you don't take that too far, because exactly, sometimes that could be too. I get it. Like I just get it. Like it's and by the way, as well, there is something to just that whole comfort zone.
Exactly.
We want to keep growing. Like you're in your mid 30s, right? This isn't the end.
No.
Right.
This is
the beginning. Yeah. Just, hey, one step further. And then again, then another 15 years, you'll be in a new spot, and another 15 years, and not because you have to, but just why not?
Exactly.
You can serve more clients and do more things. So let's talk about it. I know you left StudentWorks and you went and said, hey, I'm going to go start my own business.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that and what you did and what you got created and how it's morphed over the years.
Yeah. So me and my buddy, Mike, who you had on the podcast, got together, and decided we were going to live in Muskoka and start a property maintenance business. We just thought there was a niche in Muskoka. There's a lot of wealthy people who don't have any time on their hands. So you need odd jobs done, like window washing and pressure washing, deck repair, all sorts of stuff like that. And they need good service and reliable service. So what Mike and I did was we cold called pretty much every door in Muskoka and started getting business that way, and then getting referrals. And what slowly started happening was the clients started giving us bigger jobs, like, can you do this small renovation for us? And because we were asked those questions, we started hiring skilled carpenters and skilled project managers. And then eventually we were awarded some pretty big projects, like multi-million dollar projects. And then I would say today that's kind of our, you know, 90% of our revenue is multi-million dollar, very high-end luxury cottages. So we still have the maintenance business, because we still have a maintenance division. We think it's important to service the clients we build for and service our past clients. It's a great way to maintain the relationship too. So you still are always talking to the client about maintenance stuff. But yeah, so last year we did about $12 million in custom home builds, and this year we're projected to do about $15 million. And, you know, I want to keep growing and doing more homes and expanding to different areas and eventually get into doing some, you know, multi-unit residential development. So that's kind of where it started and where it is now and where it's going.
Wow. Well, that's fantastic. So we're going to dig into that. So a couple of things. We had the opportunity to actually build a home up in the, you know, greater Collingwood area, or Blue Mountain area. And it's interesting because, first of all, we had a fantastic builder. We have an unbelievable home. And my wife really was an interior designer, still is an interior designer, but now she just is the CEO of our business. But it's incredible. And there's no question that we struggle at times with him, that we're kind of an afterthought a little bit. And Frank, I love you. If you ever listen to this, you likely wouldn't. But it really is, you're right. It would be way better if he also had the capability of what you're talking about, reaching back and servicing, just because then he's just way more top of mind for referrals.
Exactly.
You know, and by the way, Steve, you're going to be my referral now, because I know you're looking to grow into our area, and you'd be someone who I'd be looking to refer to.
That's great.
Yeah. And again, not that I don't like Frank, but I like, again, there is something to becoming top of mind and servicing people. And just because you built their home, well, now we've been here, I know, 10, 12 years or something. Hey, there's things, you know, you want to go and improve this or fix this or, you know, cause so, and obviously as well, all that type of business is also just revenue,
exactly.
Right? It's extra work. You're still making the same margin.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think it's important to maintain that relationship. And then, you know, with homes, things happen over time. If it's a wood building, it needs to be painted.
Yep.
So call,
yes,
you know, stuff like that and all that kind of stuff. So I think it's important to maintain that relationship with the client and service them. It's really, really important, because referrals are, at this point, I would say 80% of where our business comes from. And we get some from social media and internet stuff, just because we try and have a decent presence there. But I mean, it's referrals. And those are the best. Those are the best.
Yes.
Too, because they're not even talking to other builders. They're like, you built this for my buddy and he had a great experience. So let's use you.
Let's talk about this. Yeah. And so, you know, one of the things is actually if our leaders, when they're listening here, they can go on to Patty Mac, PattyMac.ca, and they can look at a bunch of the amazing, amazing, like just world-class homes and cottages that Steve's built. So one of the big things for me, Steve, is, and I know you shared with me in a conversation earlier, was just, hey, I just learned so much about the sales and the marketing. And certainly there's just no question. We are just amazing in that space, business development. We are really, really great at coaching and training. And so I look at these homes and I just went, wow, is that ever incredible? Like, so how do you go from learning what we taught you about how to paint some homes and do a pretty good job and satisfy clients to go in and building what you've built? Like, how do you get there?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So I would say a little bit of trial and error for sure.
Okay.
And then over the years, I think what we've been really good at is hiring very good people. So it's hiring and keeping good people. So
retaining.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, when we first started building some of this stuff, I'll admit it, I was in over my head sometimes, but I had hired guys and staff and project managers that have seen this stuff before and built things like this before. So with the team, we would just, you know, problem solve through various components of a build. And by the way, I know some of the best builders in Ontario as well, and I would consider myself one of them. It's still the same thing. Every build's a new challenge, especially with these high-end custom homes. There's all sorts of details that are a challenge, and you got to figure out how to do it and how to install things. So just over the course of time, it's been hiring good people and then together as a team problem solving and figuring out the best way to do things and the best way to get the results that everyone's wanting. And another big thing for us was just building an infrastructure that could take on the amount of work we take on and being able to deliver. So, you know, to have a business like ours, there's a couple of very important components. You need the carpenters on site who are able to execute these really high-end detailed homes. And then you also need the office staff and salespeople so the office staff is important for organizing all the materials and trades and important people that are involved in building a home. And then you got to have the sales staff to kind of do the estimates and sell these homes and make sure that there's work for everybody. So those are all the important pieces that we've put together over the years. And we're still always, I obsess over this stuff, is always trying to be better. We're always trying to figure out the most efficient way to do things. We're always trying to make sure that the finishing is a step above everybody else. The client service is a step above everybody else. We're constantly trying to fix things and make them better, which drives me crazy, but it's the source of so much passion. I have so much passion for it, and I get so much joy when we solve problems and make things better. So it's kind of love hate, but it's great. I love it.
Yeah. Oh, I get that. And I get that energy. And one of the great things about working for the type of clientele you have is they have extraordinarily high expectations in their life, because that's how they get that type of success. Yeah. They're really massively successful entrepreneurs or lawyers or professionals or whatever. And they literally are the best in the field at what they do. And so obviously, what do they want built is something, you know, like that. And but part of it is, I'm sure as well, when you're communicating with them, you're working with them, they're seeing again that passion, that commitment, that focus. Here's what we're doing. And again, you're communicating, sending them pictures. Look at what this is looking like, right? And that's part of really drawing them into their project and having them really happy at the end, I'm sure.
Yeah, no, that's a big part of it. And I've got to work for some of the most successful people in Canada, and I've made some great relationships with them. And it's funny, you can kind of take all these guys have very similar characteristics, and then everyone can kind of teach you their own little lesson, and you can learn a lot from these successful people if you watch the way they treat you and the way they treat others, the way they manage their money, the way they think about costs, the way they deal with conflicts, all of these things that you can learn so much from all these successful people and take a little piece from everybody and put your own spin on it, and you can really get a lot of information. And then engaging the client is really important. So just keeping them in the loop. We have a project management system that's a software called CoConstruct, which I think sets us apart from a lot of builders, where we're uploading pictures all the time. All of our financial information and change orders is all there. The schedule is constantly being updated, so the client always knows where we are in the project, what's next, when can they expect this. And if there are any changes, it's real-time changes. We update it every week so the client can see where we're at, if we're ahead or behind schedule. And I think just engaging the client really makes the client experience better and gives us a better chance of getting a referral from the client at the end of the project.
Yeah. And for our leaders listening, just hear this, you know, okay, so what's Steve doing to make sure their clients are happy? Sending them pictures, you know, he's aware of their timeline, when they're starting, how it's going, how many days it's going to take, all these types of things. You may be listening and thinking about your business or your future business. How am I going to do that? So I just love that. And our projects at the Student Works Management Program are not as long as yours, but who knows, that may be some new functionality that we can add to Simon over the years.
I remember Student Works Painting when I was doing that. One of the things I always found challenging and I was always a little scared of was reporting to clients about challenges we're facing, or reporting to clients about upcharges or reporting to clients, you know, period. Like I would do it, but I always found it like I was scared of doing that. But what I found over the years is if you're transparent with your clients and you're upfront and you're communicating all the time with them, they may not like the piece of news that you are delivering, but they are appreciating that you are delivering that news. And it makes the whole entire experience great, because regardless of whether you tell the client or not, they're going to figure out that bad news. So you might as well tell them right away. Let's solve this problem. Let's do it together. And let's move past this challenge and get to the fun stuff, the delivery or whatever it is at the end.
I love it. And again, one of the things that we really spend a lot of time, right from the start, we're coaching that. But you're right, over time, the more and more times you do it, the more and more times you go, oh, when I deliver, quote unquote, what I think is bad news is just real news. It's facing the brutal truth of what's going on in the world today. And then, okay, and I can see why it's gone that way, Steve. Okay, that makes sense. Well, then, yeah, I guess to get that way, it will just cost more. Okay, but I want it that way. Because, well, we could just not do another coat. Yeah, but then I wouldn't be really happy. Okay, so yeah, please pay for another coat.
Yeah.
Right? Like again, someone owns their own home. They're used to making big decisions.
Yeah.
They can make them.
Exactly. And then that's the thing too. It's just, you know, it's probably not the first time that they've heard this type of stuff. And it's probably,
yes,
they have are expecting some sort of that, you know, upcharge or problems throughout a project. We do our best to avoid that stuff, but in the construction industry and in your industry, the painting industry, it's inevitable that you're going to come across things that you didn't expect and the client didn't expect.
Yes. And again, you're doing your best to limit, you're trying it. And then you're sort of going back to the agreement. Here's what we talked about. Now this is separate. Here's why. You're right. Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Right. And then let's make a decision. What would you like?
Exactly.
So
I just
love it.
Hey leaders, I hope you are enjoying this podcast. As we approach and surpass 300 episodes, well over 95% of the leaders that we have interviewed have been alumni of the Student Works Management Program. It has been an honor to participate in their development over the years. Starting now, and only for the fall months, we will be on campus at universities and colleges in Ontario, Quebec, and the East Coast, interviewing students who think they have what it takes to start their first business and get started down the path of entrepreneurship. If you are interested in being a leader in our program or know someone who does, please go to the show notes and hit Student Works and get sent to a landing page to apply. There is a bold Student Works that you can hit to go to a landing page to apply. Thanks so much. Back to the show.
One of the other things there are a couple things as well that I'm going to go back to, retaining people. Mm-hmm. What have you found? Because I can't say enough. I looked your projects. You've got some unbelievable people working on your team. How do you retain them? What do you see as retention, strategies, as key strategies for you, Steve?
There's a whole bunch of things that we do in our company that I think is huge. So we have, you know, benefits, which I think are a huge thing to keep people. We have a pension package as well that's helpful. One thing that I think is very important in our company is that we do constant upgrades to our safety training and constant upgrades to our, you know, safety attitudes around the company.
Yeah.
Just making sure everyone's following safety protocols, so much so that sometimes the employees are bored with it, but I know that they do feel that we're looking out for them and taking care of them. So that's really important. We pay the guys that are, you know, success, that help us be successful very, very well, I would say well above market. And we have incentives. So we have bonus structures for all of our management team that, you know, when they perform, they make more money. So all of those things, I think, keep our guys happy. And we just have another thing that I think is really important. It was great at Student Works too, is just the culture,
Culture. Yeah.
We want everything to be relatively light. We want everything to be fun. We really want that. We want everyone joking around. when I go on site, my carpenters are chirping me about whatever it is.
I'm sure they are.
It's just fun stuff all the time. And it's really the attitude and the spirit of the company that I think is really important as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's no surprise knowing you, Steve, just that that's what it would be, you know, just who you are as a person. And again, so thinking back on that, like it's funny, not funny, but you know, certainly safety has become more and more important to us. And we've improved, our, you know, since you were there, just way, way more safety stuff. And not surprisingly, just because also that's what's happened with government. But we're ahead of that.
Yeah.
And it's as a long-term employer as well, it's like, no, safety is even more important. Like for me, I feel responsible for every person who walks on our you know, we have 1,000 people every summer. But for you, it's like these people are going to be working on my job site for years and years, hopefully decades.
Exactly. Right?
And so that, hey, if it's not safe, then Bill is going to get hurt. Exactly. You know, Sam or, you know, Samantha or whoever is going to get hurt. So it really is even that much more personal. The one thing as well, I just thinking about the scale and size of your business, you know, $12 million now and growing, how are you managing the money? Like, you know, what are you doing to sort of manage the money and sort of build the equity in your business so that you can do that? And you just seem really not stressed. Here's Steve, I can see his picture, his face here. He's just smiling. He's going, okay, good. So how are you handling that?
So that money over the years has been one of the biggest challenges, because in order to grow, you need money, you need capital. In our business, especially, it's very, you know, capital intensive. You need equipment, machinery, tools, trucks. So how I was able to do that over the years is reinvest the profit. So the profits, the first, you know, 5 or 6 years we were running this company, I was making, I can think, maybe $20,000, $30,000 a second,
yeah.
Like just scraping by, because I'm, you know, putting company profits back into the company, and I'm not taking a big salary to try and make this thing. And then eventually, if you can show a bank, you know, repeated success or year after year, then you can get a loan. And then if you are good on that loan, they can give you more money and more money. And that's really what we've relied on is banks. We have a huge line of credit, so that, you know, to manage our cash flow, because sometimes in the construction industry and in any business, really, you could be owed a whole bunch of money, but it doesn't mean you have money in your bank to pay the bills. So just having enough cash flow has been a challenge over the years, but our bank has worked with us to help us grow. And a couple of years ago, we took a big loan out to build a big shop and showroom just outside of Port Carling. And the bank was helpful there. And then we've got a nice line of credit with the bank. And that's how we've been able to manage cash flow. But that is also one of the biggest sources of stress, because there'll be periods of time where the client, these are big projects we're doing. So the client might owe you $200,000, and you paid a supplier and your payroll is coming out and your payroll is $120,000 every 2 weeks. That is, you know, that can be very, very stressful. So I think for anyone looking to grow, I think you need to find a bank or a financier who believes in you and believes in the company and wants to grow with you. And you want to make sure that you're ready to grow too, because you don't want to grow too fast and take out a whole bunch of money and spend a whole bunch of money, but then not have enough business to pay it back or not have enough, you know, time to pay it back. So those things are important.
Yeah. No. And also as well, like I know, you know, Steve, just how you've presented all this, you know, certainly at 35 for me, I was not as wise or in my 20s as wise about really, again, saving more, spending less, you know, saving for that rainy day, you know, that sort of thing. You know, I know, you know, we when I took my business over, we had success immediately. And I was not as good at what you're saying. Hey, let's just really, really save, really, really build the net earnings. And that's just a really, really strong, successful strategy. And again, from seeing other entrepreneurs as well, you know, my friend who I was talking about before, who I tried to refer some business to you, and an amazing alumni, has done really, really well as well. It just, you know, you know, just, you know, the saving for a rainy day, building up your net assets. And then as well, then also a bank is going to want to go and invest with you because they see, oh, look at how much money Steve has in the business. Yeah. Look at how many assets he has in the business.
And don't get me wrong, the bank does want collateral. It's not like I have a lot on the line have these lines of credit and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, it's that thing that I think a lot of successful entrepreneurs have. It's they believe in themselves and they're comfortable with a certain level of risk all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and 100%, they obviously have assets that they go, oh, this is a real asset in terms of all the machinery that you bought and the shop that you built and all the money that's owed by the clients that you're owed as well, and that they're all well to do, so they will pay when the work's projected. And again, you've had a history of completing jobs successfully, et cetera, so that people pay.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
But you know, just you know, again, you know, congratulations about just what you've created. Just really, really exciting. You know, just again, the scale of the business that you've built. Well done.
Well, thank you, Chris. You know what, I know I've worked really hard to do it, but I have to be honest. I can't say it again. And I tell everyone, Student Works Painting really put me on the right path to learning this stuff and being entrepreneurial. It's a great program to teach you how to start and run a business. It really is. You can't learn that in university. You can't learn that in a master's program. It's only by doing this stuff that you learn all this stuff. And it was a great experience for me. And then I still have a bunch of buddies that I was in the program with. And then I'll run into guys that have done it not in my time. And we always just shoot the shit about it and laugh and joke around and remember the good times and the challenges and the fun stuff. So it's great.
Yeah. No, because it's interesting. All the things that you've mentioned come into an impact in running a student business and just way smaller scale.
Exactly.
How do we retain them for the summer?
Yeah.
How do we, how do we get paid on this job? How do we manage our cash flow? How do we have these conversations? And they're just a smaller scale.
Exactly.
And so that the risks and the quote unquote dangers are way smaller and we mitigate those risks way better. And,
yeah.
And we're able to, just because we see them coming for our students. So, and there's this DM there and amazing other operators there with you. So, again, down the road, you know, if you're looking at running a business, but what were the signs for you about looking to run a business and why did you think it was right for you?
Before Student Works Painting or?
No, after Student Works Painting.
Well, after Student Works Painting, I got a taste of you kind of have bosses, but you don't really have bosses.
Like, no, you don't have bosses. They were just district managers.
Reporting to people who are expecting results. So they're sort of bosses, but you're allowed to manage your own time. And I think that's what appealed to me the most is just managing my own time, being my own boss, getting to do what I wanted to do, making my own decisions. I really, really liked that. And I know that's not for everybody. You really have to make sure that you've got the discipline to work hard all the time and make sure things are getting done. But I just liked the idea of being a boss. And you know, with Student Works Painting, you're very satisfied at the end of the project, seeing the nice work that was done. And at the end of the summer, looking at the leaderboard and seeing your name up closer to the top, I got a lot of pride from that. So I knew that running my own business, I would get the same kind of pride and the same kind of joy out of it.
Awesome. Awesome. And so what do you think about, you know, failures or mistakes or setbacks in your business, and how'd you handle those?
I've had lots of failures and lots of setbacks. Failures, I don't think, so we would just have, so I would call a failure something like, we didn't see something coming or we didn't plan properly for something. And then it didn't go as well. So the finished product might not have looked as nice, or something didn't go as well as we thought. So we didn't make any money on it. So we would never leave something at a client's house that doesn't look right. So whether we're losing money or making money on the project in the end, we want to make sure that the client's happy, because that's just, I think, integrity.
What you do.
Integrity is really, really important. So that has always been our motto. So it's, let's do the job right first, and then let's make money after. So just learning how to do it right sometimes costs a lot of money. But now that we've learned so many things, we're able to price things properly, and we're able to make sure that things are getting done properly because we've seen a lot more. And it doesn't mean we won't make mistakes in the future, but we've just, you know, repeating the same things over and over, you're going to get better at them. And then, you know, overcoming any of the cash stress or client stress or, you know, life stress. Sometimes you feel like you're working too hard and you're not spending enough time with your family or something. It's perseverance. It's just telling yourself that you're going to make it through this and you're going to be better, and it's going to be great. And, you know, you'll have days where you're feeling like, I would say like one out of 10 days, I feel like the world's crashing in on me. But the other 9 days, I'm like, I'm loving this. This is great. My business is awesome. Life is great. And so it's just perseverance and getting through those challenges.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. And so what I hear you saying, obviously, about perseverance. And then also what I hear you saying is, when things go wrong, Steve doesn't look at it as a failure. He looks at it as, I'm learning.
Exactly.
And so I've learned how not to do that. I've learned how to price this right. I've learned. And so will it never happen again? Of course not. Right. Like, first of all, I could go and repeat another mistake, which that's always a little bit more painful, right? Or an error in estimating or whatever, but it's more, those are way less likely to happen because I'm sure you got structures and systems to sort of catch that. But of course, we're going to continue to just not consider that. Oh my gosh, look what happened to this ground, or look what happened to this thing. It wasn't exactly what we wanted. And I'm sure, because I know I'm in the similar businesses, sometimes clients will just sort of see it as and really get it and be reasonable to negotiate something that's outside what you would have known. And sometimes they're just not. But you're in the middle of a project and there really is no turning back. You like you said, it's just, oh well, I'm just not going to make as much money here. They're being unreasonable, but there's no turning back. I can imagine those circumstances happening.
Yeah, those can definitely arise. And those are the clients that are not as fun to work with, the ones that aren't reasonable. But you do, unfortunately, come across unreasonable people, and you just have to do your best to appease them and do the best for yourself as well. I've never believed in, you know, like angry conflicts. I don't think they get anywhere. So whenever we're in situations like that, I just always try and keep a level head and just be very calm and try and, you know, think logically. And if things are getting too heated, I'll just say, well, I got to look at some stuff, Mr. Client, and let me look at some numbers here and I'll get back to you, because it doesn't pay off to get heated in any, I don't think anywhere in life. So
100%. Yeah. And one of the things as well is that if you sort of see your role as, hey, this is part of a, you know, multi-million dollar business, and then this is a multi-million dollar business for years and years, I can afford, and there will be things that don't go right, and I just got to accept it. Okay, relax. There's things called bad debt. There's things called things not going to go well. And if I focus too much on it, then I'm not seeing, like you said, the 9 out of 10 days that go great. The 90% of clients are just raving, raving fans. And then maybe whatever it is, the percentage of things that we got to work on. So that's awesome. So what about, you know, as you went from, you know, student works and a university student to being a, you know, business owner, value creator in the full-time world, what did you have to change about yourself, Steve?
That's a really good question. One of the biggest, and this won't be for everyone, I'm going to open up here, but I had a big problem with alcohol. When I was in university, I drank a lot. When I was in student works, I drank a lot too. And then that sort of carried past my university career. And I know we like to work hard, play hard, have fun at student works, and I think that's really important. But just for me, eventually, I let alcohol become a problem. So about 5 or 6 years ago, I actually quit drinking because it was just becoming too big of a problem. So that was a life-changing decision for me that, you know, I had to grow up, essentially. Like, I had to stop partying so much and say that my business is really important, my life and family is really important to me. I got to smarten up and grow up and realize that life isn't about partying. Life is about more important things than that.
Right.
So that was a big, huge change for me. And I think one of the biggest changes in my life that I did. From student works to starting my own business, It was smaller changes, but it was just more accountability for, like you said earlier, Student Works Painting does a lot of that, you know, risk mitigation stuff for you. So it's being more accountable for all my decisions and making sure I really had the right processes in place to make sure, and systems in place, insurance in place, all that kind of stuff, to make sure that I'm not exposed for risk anywhere.
Right. Well, that's great. Well, you know, first of all, I just want to, you know, thank you for being so friggin' authentic. And by the way, I certainly noticed that, and I'm so happy for you,
yeah.
Right? Like, you know, that maybe it was too far on the outside, like too far out of the, you know, I've had other alumni come to me and say, hey, I'm working with this. I'm looking to manage that part of my life, and I'm drinking too much. And, you know, candidly, just because you're sharing, I really do my best to not drink four nights a week. And it's not an, like, meaning just, okay, we just, you know, tea and some water and just hanging out and just because I love a glass of wine, and that could be, well, then drinking all the time, and it's just doesn't work. So just to relate, I feel the same way, and that, you know, our work hard, play hard, have fun mentality, is always tempered to say, well, hold on, too much have fun is no fun, right? So it, you know, so there's a balance, and life always, there's a balance. And again, I appreciate you sharing that. And, you know, it's one of those things for, you know, again, we have a lot of young leaders, is just looking at, again, just kind of how many nights am I drinking? It's easy to fall into, and it looks like fun at the time, but maybe it's too much fun. And how could I be running a successful business or being successful in a partnership, or how's my alcohol impacting or drug use or whatever impacting my family, my relationships, my behavior, my moods?
Yeah, no, it was a game changer for me, and it took me some time, but I would say I'm happier now than I was before. So
yes.
Yeah. So it's
100%. Like, cause it doesn't work drinking too much. It doesn't work partying too much.
It definitely doesn't. Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, that's awesome. So if someone wanted to do what you do, what key habits would they want to steal from you?
I wake up early every morning. I think that's really important. You'll get an hour or two. So if I wake up at 5, so I get an hour or an hour and a half before people start text messaging me and emailing me and calling me. So with that time, I like to work out, look at some emails and stuff like that. That gives me an edge on everyone else, because I've had an hour or an hour and a half to think about my day before it's even started. So waking up early is, I think, a big thing. And if you read, you know, books about successful people, it's all the same. Waking up early is important. Perseverance is so important. Just being able to get past the challenges and the mentality that I'm going to succeed, and you're going to meet some assholes, and you got to ignore them and just move forward. I think assembling the right team and delegation is huge, because you can't scale a business up if you're not able to teach, you know, or hire people to do a lot of the things that need to be done in the business. So, you know, hiring a salesperson, hiring an accountant, hiring project managers, whatever the case may be, you got to be able to find people and delegate stuff to them. And then you got to believe in yourself for sure.
Yeah. And you can see at the scale of your business, there's a whole bunch of people in your business that are better than you at a bunch of those things.
Sure,
right.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, and that's what you want. Yeah. That's what you want. Wow. They're better than me here. They're better than me here. They're better than me here. And that's really, again, the sign of a really great organization that you built.
Yeah. You want to, the people in your company, you don't want to be the best at everything, or else your business isn't going to be the best, because there's no way that you can be the best at everything.
100%. So when you think of a leader of tomorrow, what comes to mind? That's my last question.
What comes to mind for the young guys listening?
When you think of a leader of tomorrow, what comes to mind?
Well, part of me is a little jealous that they get to go through, you know, that whole journey, right? If they're doing Student Works Painting, it was so much fun. Looking back on it, I mean, at the time, there were times where I was totally stressed out, pulling out my hair, feeling like I was working too much. But looking back on it, it's some of the best memories I have, the, you know, the retreats with the guys, the seminar things, the client interactions, the assembling the team, all that kind of stuff, looking back on it, is really, really fun because you're learning so much and you're meeting so many fun people. So I'm a little jealous of to get to go through all that, but just, they should enjoy it for sure. And then I guess part of that too is just enjoy the process, because don't always be trying to get to the next step, because there's a part of me that's always going to be thinking about the next step, and I'm getting better at it, but I wish I would just have sometimes enjoyed the moment and been a little more present in what's going on right now. Cause looking back on this stuff, it's always fun.
Yeah. I love that. Thank you. And that's just like one of the things I love about all these conversations I get to have is it just gets me to remind myself. And there's just a huge reminder, Steve, like you've reminded me in a number of ways. You know, you sort of said, hey, 9 out of 10 days, I'm having a great day. And here's another thing. It's like, stop being so, and that's a bunch of that has gone away from me. I'm with my age, maybe wisdom, but anyhow, there's a little less testosterone, overwhelming testosterone in my system pumping and energy pumping is quite as much. And so it's like, what's next? What's next? What's next? It's like, hey, this is a great day. Look, I'm just in this awesome conversation. Be present and just, again, enjoy. We're building this team, or enjoy. I'm having this amazing conversation with this client. Things are perfect, right? And really sort of understanding that and seeing that. So that's just awesome. Every day is a great day.
Exactly. Try and think that way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Unless we run into whatever, but anyhow, exactly. We'll cope with that.
Yeah.
So Steve, thanks so much for joining us. I'm just so appreciative. And, pattymack.ca, I know a bunch of the people listening are not jumping on to sort of go, oh, hey, I want to go build a multi-million dollar cottage, but just go see what Steve's up to. It really is amazing.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Chris. I really appreciate you having me. It's been really nice to reconnect, because I would think about you a couple times a year at least. So it's been nice to reconnect, and good to hear from you.
Fantastic. Hey, you have an awesome day. Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks, Chris. Talk soon.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Hey leaders, I hope you enjoyed this episode. By now, you are aware that we work with ambitious students every single year to not only help them run their first successful business, but to further their development as a leader and give them an unfair advantage in the future over their counterparts. It's why starting now and only for the next few weeks, we'll be on campuses across Ontario, Quebec, and the East Coast, interviewing students who think they have what it takes to start their first business and get started down their path of entrepreneurship. If you think you have what it takes or know someone who might be interested, visit leaderspodcast.ca/apply and start your application process today. Once again, it's leaderspodcast.ca/apply, and I can't wait to see you on the other side.